Hi, hey, welcome to the Doorway of the Supernatural, and this is my co-host,
Rob Kennedy.
There you go. And we're here today, we're going to be discussing the interpretation of tongues. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 10, it says, there are, as it may be, so many kinds of voices or tongues in the world, and there none of them is without significant or signification. And what that simply means is that every tongue, every language, every verbiage that is used, even natural or spiritual, that it can open a threshold. It opens a door to a world or to something. And so if somebody would say, come into my house, you would walk in and there would be a whole world. But those words create thresholds. And so there are multiples of tongues. And Rob, we're going to read today from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7, down through 11.
All right. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
So here we have a gift. It is a divine gift. It's not a translation gift. This is a gift of interpretation.
Yeah.
The word interpretation, I wrote down, means to explain or to interpret from an inspired utterance. It means to give a human an understanding of what has been said in a composition or a makeup of words. So a sentence could have 100 words in it, but you could just say, well, really what he's saying is go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If he said, go down here, turn to the left, go up three streets, turn to the right, do this and do that, then the grocery store is up there on the left-hand side of the road. And they would say, well, what did he say? He said, go to the grocery store. Oh, okay. And then they just, that's the interpretation.
Yeah, so it's not exact word for word.
No, it's not exact word for word. It is the expression of what is being projected to the hearer.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about the interpretation of tongues. And last time we were together, Rob, we talked about the different types of tongues that every believer should be very influenced in, very skilled in using. And the in verse, if you'll go to 1 Corinthians 14, 27 through 48, I mean through 28, 20. I'm sorry, read that.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God.
First of all, we would have to realize that there are recognized interpreters set in the church. And if there is no interpreter there, then the man himself would have to be able to interpret it, what he was going to bring forth, or he would have to be able to interpret the tongue, the type of tongue, that was being inspired or given to him so that he didn't speak out and there'd be no interpreter.
Yeah.
And so then he would have to determine what he was doing, whether it was speaking to himself or unto God. But both of them would, all three of them, would be acceptable in a service.
Yeah.
And when it says, since if you're going to speak in an unknown tongue but there's no interpreter, then let him keep silent. In other words, bring it down to a tone that is not disruptive.
Yeah. And so many people think that it means you can't speak in tongues at all.
Yeah, no.
And that's, it's,
no.
And it's in the hearing of all, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be brought down so that everybody is not aware of what you are doing.
Yeah.
Because now it's entered into a more personal level. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody. to understand what's being said, but now is being given to you, yourself, or between you and God.
Yeah, amen.
And so we have to be able to interpret that, what tongue we're praying.
Yeah.
Because one tongue, if you're talking to God, it would mean that, hey, you know, I'm subject to the conversation until God says, okay, this conversation is over.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't short-circuit the conversation. It's kind of like a teenager setting and saying, well, you know, I don't want to talk about this anymore. You say, you know, you don't get the drift, Johnny.
Exactly.
You're sitting here until this conversation is over.
Yeah.
And when it's over, you'll know it's over.
You'll know.
And that's right.
And that's the thing, too, even with that tongue. You know when the Lord is done speaking or
yes.
having this conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you do because you are aware of it.
Yeah.
You are interpreting. So it's not just the language that it is interpreted, but the type of language.
Yeah.
It would be like if God would move you, Rob, into a place to begin to intercede for someone,
yeah.
where Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray for the understanding.
Yeah.
In other words, it would be subject to him say, Holy Ghost, I'm praying in the understanding here, but I'd like for you to give me an utterance concerning
yeah.
this subject that I've been praying about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we could then begin to pray, but we would have to be able to interpret that tongue, because if the Holy Ghost calls you into intercession, now you're subject to him.
Yeah.
He is doing something.
Yeah.
And so we have to make sure that if it's me, then I can stop edifying myself when I choose.
Yeah.
Or singing in the Spirit. I could stop the song when I wanted to stop. But if God wants to talk to me, or if the Holy Ghost wants to inspire me into a prayer place or into intercession, then I'm subject to him.
Absolutely.
Remember, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And so now I have to be able to interpret what tongue it is so I can allow whoever or whatever's been authored it is now in control of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that is a part of an interpretation.
I can tell you, there's oftentimes I've been praying in my own prayer language, and then a spirit of intercession come on me. My
yes.
language will change, and I'll know who I'm praying for.
Yes.
You know, and so I'm just, and then that'll lift, and then you can go back to praying. And
yes, absolutely.
And even on my commute this morning, I was singing in tongues, and then I would sing the interpretation or
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And I knew that that's what that was.
Yes.
Because it was glorifying God.
And, yeah, you know. Absolutely. And when we have those, Robs, it is important because the Holy Ghost will, when we're praying in tongues, you could speak to yourself, and the Holy Ghost is giving you the utterance. I mean, the Holy Ghost has prophesied to me.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost has given me tongues and then the interpretation of that tongue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, and the Bible did tell us, pray that you may interpret.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we need to be able to interpret the language, the reason for the inspiration, and we have to be able to interpret the time frame, and if there's a reason for it, we have to yield to that, whoever is the source, and we have to be able to interpret. If it's us speaking to ourselves or something about that, then it's subject to us.
Exactly.
But the gift of interpretation is very necessary for the believer, because it far reaches just what we conclude here in the scriptures. There are all types of languages in the world. There is sign language.
Yeah.
Some of it is carnal. Some of it is very helpful.
Yeah.
Some of it is, you know, kind. Some of it is inviting. And then there is what people, they have body language interpreters.
Yeah, absolutely. They can read your...
Yes, they can read your body language and tell you if you're angry, mad, or and you know, just for me, I'm just always peaceful, lovable, and but you will know when I'm agitated, or you will. I'm telling you. And now, but they have interpreters. Now these people are not divine, but it is a learned skill to what they're doing. But there is the interpretation that you and I need to be able to use in people's lives. If we go to, I've got down here Mark, Let's go to, Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 1 through 4, Rob.
One through four.
Yep.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed.
There. Now we see right there that Jesus says, you can discern.
Yeah.
It would mean that you can divide, you can interpret what's happening.
Yeah.
And so even the skies speak to us. Mm-hmm. The heavens declare God's glory. Now, when skies are gray or whatever, we can say,
yeah.
Oh, wow, you know what? It's going to storm. It's going to rain.
Yeah,
get in the lawn furniture. Get the cat in the house. You know, get that little pup. Too late. You know, we can interpret that.
Yeah.
And that is an interpretation of a language of nature.
Yeah.
And so we can do that. And Jesus says, how is it that you are so skilled in that, yet you have never been able to see who I am?
Yeah.
So, I just say this. There's no sign that's going to convince you because you've seen them.
Yeah.
So, there's one more sign, and that's going to be the sign of Jonah. Three days in the belly of the whale. I'm going to be 3 days in the belly of the earth.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to raise up, and you are going to see that I was the Messiah.
Yeah.
But it would be interpreting those things that we saw.
Yeah.
And they didn't interpret. Jesus said, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
You've used this type of interpretation to do other things for your own advancement.
Yeah.
But you haven't been just in your interpretation of who I am.
Yeah.
Comparing me to Scripture to see, is this a mere man or is he the Messiah?
Wow.
And so that is important. And the reason that is important, Rob, is that it brings us to, if we could discern the seasons of the world, we could discern the seasons of men.
Yeah. Wow. Their time. For what?
The time, the seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could interpret that. Mm. In fact, we could interpret really the type of season they were going through.
Yeah.
Now, remember, this is not speculation. This is not you trying to conjure something up.
It's not a guessing game.
No. It is a true gift of interpreting.
Yeah.
When I counsel people, I like to say, God, I'm meeting with so-and-so today. Help me interpret what is behind his words.
That's good.
Because words may be filled with flattery, but there may be a knife in a man's hand.
Exactly.
So when a man or a woman comes in and talk, and they're both talking about, oh, you know, everything's going great and all that, you listen there, and pretty soon you just say, listen, you know what? Your life is a wreck, and you're doing this, and you're doing this. One time, Phyllis, a lady was in our kitchen, and she was talking. All of a sudden, Phyllis jumped up, flew across that table, and she said, you got a lying devil. And I'm thinking,
uh-oh.
Phyllis, this is not good for church growth. We need people.
Yeah.
Well, Phyllis dealt with that devil.
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
But I didn't interpret anything come from that woman. Hmm. But, buddy, Phyllis went into discerning of spirits, and she interpreted, you know what? This is not the tongue of truth.
Wow. Okay.
And so if we can do that, we can listen, Robin, we can hear the words, but words don't always convey what people are wanting to say.
The thoughts, the intentions.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And can you interpret when someone is saying, oh, man, you're the greatest thing since mustard and ketchup on a hot dog, and you get the feeling, these people are backstabbing me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and not speculation, but a true interpretation of what's going on in their hearts, the movements, their words, because the Bible says in Proverbs, if you go to Proverbs 15, Rob, Proverbs 15:23, It says something, and how would we know to do this? To change a man that was so jovial, seemed so happy, but if you interpreted his words, interpreted the season that he was in by the help of God, then you could help that man and just not let him stop and move on with life the way that it is. Yeah. And so it's 15:23. Yeah.
A man hath joy by the answers of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it?
Now, how would you know how to speak a word unless you knew a season?
Yeah.
So when we run into people, there is more to people than what we see. There is a whole life going on behind the landscape that we see as a body.
Yeah, there's an undercurrent.
Yeah, absolutely. When you go into a house, Jesus said, if your peace be there, interpret, is the peace of God in this house? Right. Don't listen to their words.
Yeah.
Let God show you, is there peace in this house?
Yeah.
And are their words kind or are their words divisive?
Yeah.
Are they for you or are they against you? Yeah. We can only know that, Rob, by the gift of interpretation.
And he says, and look for the person of peace. That person may not even know they're a person of peace.
Yes.
You know, most likely they don't, right?
Right.
So you have to discern that.
Yeah, we have to be able to pick that up.
Yeah.
So if we could give a man a drink of water or a word in his season, it would encourage him and enrich him. Because if we're just talking, Rob, and we pass people, and the gifts aren't in operation in our life, we really just go on with spiel.
Yeah.
I mean, just words that have no definite spiritual meaning, but when they're talking, you're talking, oh, yeah, man, God did this and God did that, and he's talking about, oh, yeah, God did this, God did. But if you interpret season saying, he is so discouraged and so disappointed, he's trying to build himself, and then you're heaping on, you know, hey, God's using me too, and then he walks away and thinks, oh, man, I wish God ain't using me at all. I ought to go hang myself.
Yeah.
No, we have to be able to interpret those seasons, right, because there is things that people need in life.
Yeah.
And if they need an encouraging word, then we want to encourage them.
Exactly.
And so we need to know, and that only comes, Rob, by the gift of God, the interpretation. And so how about we go to Ecclesiastes 3:3.
Yeah.
That's a pretty intense scripture here.
Yeah. It says, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up.
Yep.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, please.
A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to loose, a time to keep and a time to cast away.
Now, how could we, if we hear a word, or even if we hear scriptures, we have to be able to interpret, is it time to sow? Is it time to gather? We have to interpret, Rob, as it were, even the seasons that we are in.
Yeah.
If we interpret the seasons, the Bible says in, I think it's Luke, the fourth chapter, that the devil left Jesus until another season.
Yeah.
How did Jesus know when the season of temptation was over?
Well, when the temptation left.
Yeah,
right? So
yes.
There's that.
Right.
But
how about the feeling, the, you know, the pressure, the stress
that
may still be there?
Yeah, because that could be there. But he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Let's go to kind of read that.
All right.
Go to 1 Peter 1:6.
First Peter
1:6. Remember, we're talking about interpretation of tongues, and we're also looking at you know, different ways that languages or seasons are expressed, and for us to have the ability to interpret those seasons.
So 1 Peter 1:6 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Wow. Yeah. So when the heaviness lifted.
Right.
Yeah.
What would be the difference? Yes. Yeah. And then we would begin to rejoice. Hmm. But if we just continued and our emotions didn't change, our feelings didn't change, which they may not.
Yeah.
Because we do walk not by our senses, but we walk by the truth, or we walk by faith.
Yeah.
We walk by every way of God. So
now,
if
the angels came and ministered to him.
Yes, and the angels came, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if they came, Jesus would have had to be able to, you know, recognize and discern that they were angels, certainly from God.
Yeah.
Or he might have seen them as manifestations of, you know, the temptation that he was in.
Yeah.
But here it says that, you know, that we don't counter the thing when these trials are coming to us, but it's for a season. So we have to know when a season appears so that we can start. What if God put a burden? We many of you might not know, this is how we used to, in the old Pentecostal days, which still is Pentecostal days, says, you know, I have a burden for prayer. In other words, we would have this heavy thing or this, you know, just a pressure to draw you to a certain area, to pray about a certain thing or to an individual. Well, that is a heaviness. And you would have a heaviness of heart for someone. But if a heaviness of heart is not interpreted right, or you go to prayer and you leave your burdens there and you get them resolved and you have a release that God is doing something, well, then you can move on. And if that burden or that almost, I don't want to say oppression, but it does touch us spiritually and it does touch us emotionally. And so if we don't recognize that, Rob, we would give way to it, to allow to continue in it. And the burden would be of the Lord, but then the devil will take advantage of everything. And Jesus went to the wilderness, yes, to be tempted of the devil, but he also went there to return in power. So
there was a reason for the season.
Yes, absolutely. So the devil takes advantage of his separation. And so we, when we come into places like this, Rob, that it's for a season. We have to recognize the season. And too many of us, you know, like people go through seasons in marriage. Well, you know, we are never intimate anymore. Well, 2 months ago, you were complaining you were too tired. So, you know, look, people go through seasons in their marriage, Rob. Everything is not kiss me, hug me, praise God, make my favorite dish. You know, people go through, because we're all going through emotional transformations. We're going through spiritual renovation. We're going through sanctifications. We're putting off the old, putting on the new. And sometimes when we're in new places, you know what? We're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to feel my way, as it were, through this thing. Well, if we don't interpret that, you know, honey, just bear with me. You know, I'm just going through this right now, and the Lord is just dealing with me on something. If not, you could be, well, you know, the devil's condemning me because I've had this in my life. But God is dealing with me because I've got this in my life. Now your husband or your spouse could say, oh, okay, we're going to send you to your mother-in-law. You come back in a month when this is over. You, that way you can make a good decision. But if you don't know, Rob, that you're going through it, you can't relate.
That's right.
You know, there's seasons of fasting and prayer. You know, honey, I think God's leading me on this. Okay, separate yourself. How would we know that it wasn't God or if it was just us? We have to be able to to interpret these languages, these leadings of God into our life so that we can end up where we need to be. And if you're in a pressure cooker, if you're you feel like the devil is slamming you and on top of you and getting the advantage, tell your spouse, honey, look, I'm sorry, I'm, you know, wired. You might be 25 and him thinking, well, I thought he was just menopause. You know, young guys don't know anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, they might say, well, I didn't know what it was. I figured it was just something womanly comes along. Yeah, they don't know. And so if you can explain to them, honey, God is dealing with me in this area. Or pre-adventure, this is God.
Yeah.
Interpret. Pre-adventure, this is the Lord.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to interpret those things. We have to be able to interpret there's a time to sow, time to reap, time to gather, time to cast down.
Yeah.
There are things that we allow our children, but then we interpret a season in their life that, you know what, they're old enough, they know what they're doing.
Exactly.
We are changing this.
Yes. Yeah.
Whether it's being potty broke or whatever it is.
Yeah. But and the Lord does that with us as well. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so there is the natural things that we, you know, transition and feel our way through. But in this case right here in 1 Peter 1:6 is that we have to realize that it is a season, though it's for season, but then we get a rejoice.
Yeah.
So now there is a rejoicing season.
Yeah.
As well as there is a fighting season. If I'm in a fight, I want to tell you something. I want to make sure I stay filled with the Word. So I would tell my wife, honey, you know what? The devil's really trying to beat me up. And I'll tell you what, I just need to dig in. Yeah. And I know that God's gave me the victory. And I am not lying here dormant. I'm going to get up and I'm going to fight the fight. Yeah. So at night, honey, after, you know, we eat, instead of me doing the dishes, I'm going to ask if I could have that hour to pray and to study and so forth.
Yeah.
My wife would say, you got 3 days, don't make a habit of it, and the ditch will still be waiting for you when you get here.
There you go.
And so, but though I think that it's so important that we learn to interpret. And if we get skillful in that, Rob, we can do it. You know, we can move in and out of the gifts.
Yeah. Intuitively,
as we do with tongues.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's a part of our life. And so we need to be able to interpret. And if you'll go to Proverbs 6:6, Rob, and I hope that you're getting the gist of the gift of interpretation. As pastors, we have to be able to interpret the seasons of our congregations.
Yeah.
Because congregations go through seasons because they're a body.
Body, it's organic.
And there are going to be times when they have to be fed meat. There are going to have to be times when they're going to have to be nursed because they're weak, they're wounded, whatever. You lose someone in your congregation that's been dear to a lot of people, then, you know, you need to interpret, God, are they okay? Do I need to preach on life and death?
Yeah.
Do I need to preach on the rapture? Do I need to preach where saints go when they go to heaven? We have to interpret that because your congregation will go through times of onslaughts. Mm. Your church as a body, what happens to one can happen to another.
Exactly.
And so sometimes a whole church can be just struggling with the thing and interpret. You know, God, should I deal with this now? What do I need to preach on? What is a word in their season, God? And if not, you can miss those seasons. And, you know, the people would go through them, but it'll be like a tree. When you look at the ring of a tree, you can see where a tree has been through a drought. You can see where it's been through a harsh winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how a life cycle is in a life of a person. You can see when they've been through hardships and so forth because they're better or they're worse.
Yeah, exactly.
And how they handled it.
Yeah.
And so we need to interpret the seasons and things that people go through. I just think it's important that we interpret even languages, like you come home from work and you know, and you've been at your shop all day long. Your mind has been, oh man, boy, when I get home tonight, praise God, hallelujah, I'm going to have pizza and hallelujah, I'm going to kiss my wife. We're going to watch a chick flick and praise God. And she comes in and you better be quick to interpret because hope deferred makes the spirit sick. And you'll get agitated. You'll be mad. She'll say, what's wrong with you? And you'll say, oh, nothing guaranteed. Then you'll be a liar. And, oh, my word, it just goes downhill.
There you go.
And so, and you have to I don't know. I'm sure in every marriage there is body language. I'm presuming I've missed about 90% of them, she tells me. So, you know, so...
And sometimes what they say is not really what they mean.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I thought we'd be together tonight. Okay, you go and put your Speedos on. She said, no, I thought we'd be together watching the movie. I've invited friends over. Oh, okay, let me go get out my Speedos. Now, let's go to Proverbs 6:6, Rob.
All right. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Amen.
How does the ant know?
Yeah.
There will be times, and I see this in so many people's lives, and I hope that some of you are listening that I know and watching. You get money given to you, and you have one season. So, why am I a giver? Yeah. Well, the giver is not the question, but the wisdom behind the giving is.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ant should not be smarter than the believer.
That's right.
But when you got his brain isn't that big, but he's smarter than you, and you got a head this big. Now, why does he interpret what he's supposed to do with his seed, but you don't?
Yeah.
And so people give. Well, I gave it all away. I don't have this and I don't have that. Look, I'm a giver.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I'm begging my wife to get milk money. But she said, I give you $100. You come out of church broke. And because I'm a giver. Now, sometimes I can be moved by a person's need.
Yeah.
But I need to be able to interpret, Rob, if it's God's leading or if it's just my emotional reading.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I want to bless everybody.
Yeah.
but the Lord has arrested me before and said, you know, you need to quit messing up their faith.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Well, you intervene and you give them, and they start seeing other people as their source.
Yeah.
Their faith is no greater than it was before their need.
Yeah.
Now, just quit meddling in my business. If I want you, I'll bring you in here. If I don't, stay out.
Yeah.
And so many times we have stagnated people because we've misinterpreted what we should do.
Yeah, and that's easy.
Oh, it is easy. So when you get money given to you, think of this. My first priority is I'm going to tithe. Good. Your second priority is I'm going to set money back to sow, or I'm going to fulfill my vow that I've made, you know, to your church or something else. Then the rest should be put up. Do not sow it just to be sowing.
Yeah.
There is a time to sow and there's a time to reap.
Yeah.
And see, we grow in our faith. We start sowing out in little increments, Rob, and then we become skilled in it, and so we start sowing, not just in a sowing season, but even when the words are contrary to our sowing, but we've got enough faith that we know that this is what we're supposed to do. And so sowing when you grow is entirely different than when you're young.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to be able to discern. And if God gives you money, then don't go back to the bank account and say, well, you know, I could meet their need.
Yeah.
You are not God. Now stop. You are, you know what? That's arrogance.
Yeah.
That's arrogance. You call it faith? It's not faith. It's arrogance. That you now have become man's need meter. You're not man's need meter. You are to do men justly, honestly, and to be truthful with them. You are not to be their need meter.
Yeah.
Now, if you have it, then you judge and you meet that need. But when it comes to money, it's not always the answer. If they need food, don't just give them extra money. Give them food.
Yeah.
Provide for their food and let it be at that. Because that's what the Bible says to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you go beyond that, you get out of Scripture, you get into error, you start thinking you are God. You can meet that need. Oh, well, no, please.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Don't do that. And so we need to be able to interpret, Rob.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I've got seed. I want to tithe. I want to give. I want to pay my vow, whatever I have to do. The rest I'm putting up.
Yeah.
Why? Because God is interested and you are commanded to put up for your generation's generation. Well, I don't have any kids or I don't have that. Well, then you still lay it up for people that may end up being your spiritual
parents.
Receivers. Yeah. Or you lay it up for your church when you go to heaven.
Yeah.
But don't give it away maybe to people that are in the place of need because they haven't used their faith or they've been disobedient.
That's right, yeah.
So we have to be able to interpret. And we may say, well, I need to be more cautious. Well, you didn't need to be more cautious. You need to be slower, and you need to be able to interpret. Well, what if I don't get anything? Put it in the bank. Yeah, but what if I prayed and I didn't get anything? Follow instructions of day one. Leave it in the bank.
Yeah, there you
leave go. It in the bank, leave it in the bank, leave it in. Well, what if I forget about it? God hasn't. Leave it in the bank, leave it in the bank.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure, and we want to, you know, use the money for things that we are supposed to use it for, Rob.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that takes interpretation, too. Right. When is the time to sow? When is the time to lay up?
Yeah.
Because you are commanded to die with an inheritance that can go to somebody.
Somebody else, yeah.
And so I think that it's imperative that we are able to interpret the urgings.
Yeah.
Whether is this emotion? Remember, the word is able to discern. We should be able to interpret.
Yeah, exactly.
If the word is spirit, which it is, then we are spirit.
Yeah.
And we should agree, and we should be able to unite with the scriptures.
Spirit. Yeah.
So I think that it's important that we are able to interpret.
Yeah.
All types of languages.
And I love how you brought that in, because when we read the text, you know, interpreting just tongues,
yes.
many people limit themselves only to that idea of interpretation.
Yeah.
And not seeing, as you brought out in the scripture, the various ways that we need to discern the times, the seasons, you know, the discern when the enemy's attacking, you know, and when to sow seed and when to reap. So discernment, it's interpreting the where God is at and where you're at.
Absolutely.
It's very critical. Very critical.
You know, when Saul threw the javelin, David interpreted, that was meant for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this was not just, I'm practicing, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
The gift of interpretation is far more reaching than, Rob, just knowing what tongues we are praying in, knowing what God is saying. And we are to pray for the interpretation of those tongues. You speak in an unknown tongue, pray that you would interpret. The Holy Ghost will give you interpretation about yourself or about a situation, about what you're praying about. But he will also give you an interpretation of other tongues.
Yeah.
And I want to be, you know, Jesus could interpret people.
He could read.
And, right,
read and hearts and minds and intentions.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, he had a word for a woman. And then he asked the woman at well a question or so, and he perceived or he interpreted, this is the lady.
Yeah.
The tongue I got from God, this is the one it goes to. Hmm. So even looking at a crowd or something like that, you know, we have to be able to interpret and to know what's going on.
I can tell you, oftentimes when I was younger, I would pray for the gift of interpretation. Because it didn't come the way it does in the church.
Yeah.
I assumed that I never received the gift.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he says, how do you know that when you begin to pray, and you're praying in tongues, and all of a sudden you get the idea, or you get a revelation, that isn't the interpretation of what I gave you?
So there you go.
That just opened me up. They're like, it doesn't have to be thus saith the Lord in a congregation.
No.
You know, of an interpretation of tongues.
Right.
I think some people think if it doesn't come that way, then they don't have the gift, or they haven't or not operating in that gift.
We just need to expand. It's not that it isn't good, but, you know, there are different types of tongues.
Yes.
And, you know, all types of language, body language and so forth, emotional inspirations, you know, physical inspirations, God inspiration, the devil inspiration. So we have to be able to interpret them. Mm-hmm. And I think that if people will start doing that, Rob, the Bible says that, remember, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us to profit every man.
Yeah.
So it has to do with all aspects of our life,
Amen.
Not just church life.
Yeah, Every afternoon.
Not just Sunday morning, not Wednesday night. No, it's the overall individual's life being productive in their personal life, in their home life, their family life, their child-rearing life, as well as their life with the world and other believers.
Well, that's one thing I've appreciated about this whole series through the gifts of the Spirit is that you have tied in the doctrine of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of it, into practical application.
Yes,
into the home and in discerning and all the different gifts. So you've really done a good job with that, of just tying it in throughout this teaching of how we apply it, you know, when we're praying, driving down the road with our wife, with our kids, who they're hanging out with. So, you know, all of that I think is very important.
Yeah.
Because I think some people see the doorway to the supernatural, per se, as something that's, you know, up here or in church and not living it daily and embodying it.
Yeah. It is the Holy Ghost is the embodiment of the representative of the Father and the Son, but Jesus lived with his disciples.
Yeah.
He slept with them. Yeah. He was in the storms with them. He was in the time of their need, their financial need, their food needs, their home problems, Peter's mother-in-law, all of those things. Jesus was in that
in the midst of
with
all
them.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Ghost is not just for a church service. It's not just for ministry. It's not just my call. It's not, you know, this is what I do. Praise the Lord. Aren't you impressed? No. This is everyday life.
Yeah.
And that's where he profits. We're not common men.
Not common men.
We are supernatural human beings with God on the inside of us.
Amen.
Hey, God bless you. Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. Bye-bye.